What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Who You Got With
Mello
and Brado is a sports podcast where we talk about your favorite sports highlights, sports debates, and sports matchups. What's going on, Mello? What are we talking about today, man?
You already know what it is. It's been NBA playoffs. It's been UFC 274.
It's true.
And at the same time, it's Cinco de Mayo, baby. And we got our favorite Mexican fighter alive right now, Canelo Alvarez, fighting Dimitri Duvall.
Fighter of the generation, for
sure. Exactly. And at this point, arguably the best fighter alive.
That's for sure. May 7th, 2022 is going to be Canelo Alvarez versus Dimitri Bilal.
That's going to be WBC light heavyweight championship.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Bilal has the light heavyweight championship right now, and obviously, Canelo has his championship as well, and he's going to try to get both championships right now to bring them together as well.
Well, so, I would say he don't have one for 170.
Not for 175. He has the 165 championship.
And that's the thing. I'm pretty sure once he became undisputed at 168, he just said, I don't care. He might keep it because at this point, they might drop him back down to have some fights next year.
About that. We might have to talk about that because I don't really agree with that.
We'll
see what has to happen with this fight. And if he actually does really well in this fight, because Bilal, you know, the 175 champion, so if he actually fights good against the 175 guy, then he can hold his own against these guys. Then,
well, I don't think that his belts are actually up for contention at 168.
No.
Like, Dimitri Bivol is not, like, interested at those belts at all. Basically, at this point, whoever wins this gets the light heavyweight belt.
So
I don't even know what he's doing with those 168s, but like I said, we could talk about it.
There's no way that, like, a guy like Plant is going to come back, you know, and try to fight him, or Kovalev is going to, you know, fight him again, so, you know. But we can talk about that for sure later, because there is a possibility of Triple G. So we can definitely discuss that later.
And that could be at 168.
Exactly.
And that's why I said I think that he might keep those belts to go back down to face Triple G.
This one is still a crazy fight. Exactly. I mean, Dimitri Bilal, he's a beast. I mean, he's honestly one of the toughest challenges for Canelo to this day. I mean,
a nice fighter.
Yeah, if we just go by the tail of the tape, he's 19-0 and 31 years old, 6-0, 72 reach. And he fights that orthodox style. So he's the type of fighter that, you know, Canelo's not really used to fight. He's just fighting more southpaw style fighters, and it's gonna be interesting seeing him fight a bigger guy like this. You know, if you look at him, even in the press conferences, even when they were, like, seeing each other, he just stood so much over him. Like, he really did. Like, and obviously, he's fought bigger guys before. You know, Volkov, he was big as well, but not as big as a guy like him.
No, Canelo is only 5'7", 5'8", so he's pretty much a teletape for Canelo.
Yeah.
He's 57-1-2. 39 knockouts, and Bivol only have 11 knockouts out of his 19 fights.
True.
And most of his decisions came in his last couple fights.
That's true. And the only loss with Canelo is obviously Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. And then the two draws, I'll be honest, I forgot about the first one. I know one's Triple G.
Very early in his career.
I forgot what his name was. I
believe he was like 19 years old at the time when
he had a draw. 70.5 reach, 31. Yeah. Obviously orthodox. And one thing I looked up too was the rounds. Dimitri Bivol only fought 148 rounds so far in his career, while Canelo Alvarez has fought 436 rounds.
I mean, like I said, he had 19 wins.
He had 60 fights.
19 wins for Bilal, but 11 knockouts. That's actually a lot. That's more than half of his wins were knockouts. So that's not bad. I know his last few wins, like you said, were mostly decisions, but still, overall in his career, him having like half of his fights as knockouts, that's still a pretty good up and coming fighter.
Oh, no, definitely.
I mean, Canelo's the type of guy that'll take it to decision too.
We have a disgusting amount of prolific boxers in the light heavyweight division, and Dimitri Duvall at 19-0 has basically won the belt early on, I think in his 11th, 12th fight.
Yeah.
And pretty much at this point, it's about to defend it for the 11th time. So he actually won it probably in his 8th, 9th fight. Like, he pretty much came in early dominated everyone and pretty much grabbed the belt and has been putting everyone to bed. Not even to bed, but like pretty much has making sure. And that's the thing. He does not, like, he don't completely have the power. He has no problem taking the decision, outboxing you, trying to play the defensive game, picking and choosing. So he defended. Once he got the belt, he kind of changed his style up. And a lot of people, they don't compare him, but like it's the same thing like Floyd Mayweather. He was Pretty Boy Floyd knocking everyone out when he first started off. And then he switched to more of a defensive style on how to just more continuity for his career. And Dmitry Bivol has been doing the same exact thing.
So I definitely agree with a little bit of that. I don't think that he's like on a level of Floyd's defense for sure. No, obviously. But I do agree with you. The style. He switches the style. And it works because he's very more patient. He's patient so much whenever he fights. He definitely is. And he likes to, you know, go up towards you, but he doesn't like to really punch even if he's going forward. He just likes to control the fight that way. He'll pick his spots and jab you and stuff, but he's very more of a patient fighter because he knows he can look you down. Being 6-0 at his weight is pretty good, you know. But the only thing with him is his last fights have been in the last 3 years and 5 months. You know, a guy like Canelo, he fights pretty much 3 times a year, you know. And you know, Dmitry, like, literally his last fight was last year. We saw him in late 2021. Same with Canelo, but I mean, if you look at how more active, the more active fighter, it's obviously Canelo. He likes to be fighting every 3 to 6 months.
Everybody was active before COVID. Everyone stopped with COVID. Some people became more active after COVID, and Canelo was one of those people that came back next year, and he had a clear cut vision. I want to run through the 168 division.
Yeah, I mean,
So Dmitry Bivol, that's the thing. Dmitry Bivol didn't pick another division. He stayed where he was at. He slowly took his fights. But that's the thing. Remember, we're literally not even 2 years removed from COVID.
Yeah,
so
true.
Everyone was a lot more active before. Like, so when people, like, with any sport, like, obviously not like basketball or football, when it comes to like fighting, when it comes to being active, as long as they gave us 2 fights since COVID came, since COVID caught, I'll give him that.
With Canelo, he has that big contract with DAZN Network.
Well, he's out to make money. But he's out to prove that he's the best ever.
I get that, but it's still like a huge contract. 11 fights for $365 million for DAZN, the network.
Right.
You know, so he's trying to get those fights a little bit quicker as well. I get it, you know, because he wants his next contract to be even bigger. You know? So I get that he wants to fight like a lot more. And if he's not getting hurt, there's no problem with that. Like, I don't see that as a problem. Right. And he doesn't look like he is.
No, he hasn't been in danger in the last three fights.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, obviously in the last three fights, when he knocked out Caleb Plant, everyone saw that. Just to keep his title, that was incredible last year. And then obviously before that, Saunders, he took him in an 8th round knockout. And before that, it was Avni Yurdum, which, again, my man took him in a 3rd round knockout. So, you know, the last three fights were all knockouts, you know. So, you know, you got to give him, like, as in his generation, he's probably one of the best fighters in his weight class.
Nah, he's going to go, like, at the end of the day, like, he literally fought and won. He fought 60 times and won 57 of them. Like, he will go down as one of the best fighters of all time.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no question about it. He is a 4-time, like, he basically has won a belt in at least five different weight classes.
He wants to be the...
No, 4. And he unified the super middleweight division. And he actually been at 175 before. And the last time, the 2019, he got a stoppage. He knocked somebody out at 175. Like, my man, so he's fought in at least 5 to 6.
Yeah.
But he's only won championships in 4.
And he wants and to he, get the he, fifth. You know why?
Because he wants once to he make gets, 2 undisputed.
That's true. He wants to make the 2 undisputed. And once he gets this one, he will be the first guy since Julio Cesar Chavez to have the 2 undisputed belts. And the first Mexican boxer to ever do it. And I think that he would be undisputed, one of the best Mexican boxers if he does it. But honestly, on the Bilal side, I do think that this is still a big challenge for Canelo. Bilal, like we said, he's very patient with his shots. And he definitely, you know, he knocks out people. I know he hasn't done it in the last 3 times, but his reach is a lot bigger than Canelo's. He's got like 4 inches on his reach. So, I mean, if you look at that, he's definitely going to use his jabs to keep him at bay. I know Canelo's going to try to do his little combinations and definitely try to get in there. But I just see Bilal is like picking his shots and
Bivol,
excuse me. I mean Dimitri Bivol. I keep calling him Bilal.
Because we were sitting here having an argument about UFC and the lightweight division because we got 274 coming right. up.
Talking about Muhammad Bilal.
Bilal Muhammad. We've been talking about UFC all night.
But yeah, I mean, they all got similar names. A lot of these...
Bro, I can't keep up.
But anyway, I mean, the Russians, they can fight, is all I know. And yes. There's a reason he's a champion. And there's a reason a lot of these Russians are champions. And obviously here, and they're upcoming in the UFC as well. But, you know, Bilal's reach is definitely a huge advantage for him in this. To keep Canelo at bay, make sure he doesn't get hit with those like combinations right in those uppercuts.
He don't waste punches.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely.
He's one of the ones trying to go. Like basically, at this point, he's as pure as it comes when it comes to technical boxers. And a lot of people seen Usyk move up to heavyweight, and they seen his technical skills. And that's because at light heavyweight, you got like a supreme combination of speed, agility, and strength.
Yeah.
Like it at that pretty much level, it's just all of it. So the one thing I love to point out is some stats about what they throw in the combinations that they have. Bivol throws about 54 shots per round,
uh-huh.
and he lands about 17 of them. And that's consistent light heavyweight. Canelo throws 41 per round less, and he pretty much connects with 15 of them. And at this point in their careers, Bivol is a more patient
percentage, though.
Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But with that percentage, you also got to come in or count into play them getting hit as well.
True.
So when it comes to that, right now, when it comes to active fighter, there's one fighter who's just a little above everyone else when it comes to their plus minus on hitting and getting hit.
Mm.
And that's Bivol.
Mm.
He's number one on the list, and Canelo's number six. Obviously, both great at what they do. But right now, Bivol pretty much has a 20.3 rating when it comes to plus mining, positive 20.3. Canelo has a 13.6. Canelo's opponents lands about 23.5 of their shots.
Okay.
Wow. Bivol's opponents per fight.
Got you.
Bivol's opponents lands 12% of their shots.
Okay, he keeps people at bay.
He's a great defensive.
He loves to keep people at bay. He always loves to put one of his arms out, like when people are coming at him, he'll hold it out and make sure he checks you like that, you know, so he don't like get too close because he definitely has that reach in his division. Mm-hmm. I mean, 72 reach is no joke. Like
now, mind you, Canelo comes in a little bit faster, a little bit more agile.
I agree with that. Yeah, 100%.
Because he hits with a little bit more accuracy at about like 37, while Bivol is at 32. So Canelo probably got a little bit faster. At the end of the day, when it comes to light heavyweight, Bivol has fast hands.
He has fast hands.
For a light heavyweight.
But I do think that the faster fighter is definitely going to be Canelo, and he's going to get way more shots on Bilal. Yes. If you look at the overall fight, because for me, I definitely already see this being a little bit longer fight than most people are expecting. I don't see this being
it's
going to
go the distance.
You think so? Wow,
We'll see what that means. It's going to go far.
I mean, I know that it's not going to go like the last few fights that happened with Canelo. I just think that he's not going to be able to like play around with this guy in the beginning like he has been with other fighters. I mean, like you said, Dimitri is very good at picking the shots, and he's very good at connecting. You know, his percentages are very good at connecting. 25% is really good, you know, for a boxer of his stature, for a heavyweight or light heavyweight. You know, it's definitely, you know, one out of four shots, and his shots are heavy. Like they really hit you. I think that's going to be a problem for Canelo. I really do think that if you look at overall his last 10 to 15 fights, other than, you know, if you're not counting, you know, Floyd, this is the toughest fighter he's fought, you know, 175 and under, I think.
Yeah, no, because they both come with a defensive style, but it's weird because Bivol likes to sit in the pocket with his defensive style and just kind of pick and choose his punches, while Canelo, and I'd say like a lot of people don't like to see it, but Canelo is one of the most prolific defenders in today's game right now, specifically because a lot of people don't understand it because they're used to people like Floyd when it comes to slipping and being a counter puncher waiting. Canelo is a person who defends with his head movement and his footwork, but the whole time he's pressing and being aggressive. So a lot of people don't really see it as a defensive style because he's walking people down. But he's walking people down while being defensive. He's pulling out feints. He's kind of draw combos out. He's like leaking a little bit, trying to get you to bait on one thing, trying to throw another thing.
The combos and
he's walking you down, but he's still a defensive fighter, and he's one of the best.
So yeah, when he does the combos, and then he definitely comes back with some shots. It definitely shows his defense, but I don't think he's on the level of Floyd Mayweather or like know. A guy like
not at all.
Even a guy like Earl Spence or a guy like Jamal Crawford or
not Crawford. Yes, like, Spence. Not no. Jamal Crawford. Yeah. Spence ain't on that level of defender.
No, but he's just faster at moving his head. He's faster at moving his head around. I would say
when it comes to head movement, Canelo got better head movement than Errol Spence for sure. Like that's the thing. That's the thing. Like his head movement is second to none, and that's what keeps him where he's supposed to be because he pretty much.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean the same because you're all right about that. No, I totally misspoke about that. Is the way that Floyd Mayweather and
he's not on Floyd's level.
Just the way that they defend, they move their hips, they move their arms like down. They're able to like slip away from punches. If you look at a guy like Earl Spence, he's a similar type of a guy that like tries to slip away from punches. I do agree.
And that's the defense we're used to seeing. And that's why a lot of people don't realize that Canelo, like I said, basically like his opponents don't hit a good percentage. Like they pretty much only land 23. Percent of their shots, so 1 out of 4.
But
he's basically walking you down, staying in your face, and you only hitting him as a professional 1 out of every 4 times.
I get
that's prolific head movement.
I get it, but that's a guy like Bilal is only getting hit 1 out of 10 times or 1 out of seven times.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He sits back and he's more defensive. He's that more
because he's definitely able to hold his.
But I'm saying Canelo's defense comes from him pushing forward. And that's a style we don't see very often. So it's going to be a pretty much two defenders trying to pull something out of each other. But a lot of people won't agree with me because they're going to say Canelo's going to walk him down. He is going to walk him down.
He is going to walk him down, though.
But it's still going to be two defenders playing defense. Because Canelo's defense is walking you down and having better head movement and footwork than you.
For me, they're both going to be going back and forth with who's going to control the fight. But it's going to be who's going to be controlling the fight most of the rounds for me. And I do think that even though the guy with the most control is going to be Bilal, he's going to be able to hold, you know, Canelo back a little bit with his arms. You know, he's going to just be able to push him back, get his jabs in. I do think that this fight is going to be similar to the way that Canelo fought Volkov, just because he was a similar stature. He was that, you know, 174-pound fighter. And he was definitely like a bigger type of guy. I think he was 5'11". He wasn't as big as Bilal, but still, definitely same type of stature and like the jab. And I do think that in those early rounds, you saw Canelo. He didn't really go in too much. Like he definitely tried to pick his spots. It was a little bit slower fight with the Volkov fight, and I do think that in this one, it's definitely gonna be similar. It's gonna be a lot slower in those first few rounds. They're not gonna be picking their shots that much. Towards that third, fourth round, that's when you're actually gonna see like, you know, energy start moving up.
Nah, it's going to be later. One thing Canelo learned from losing to Floyd, and he learned a lot of things, was you have no problem giving up the earlier rounds because your sole intention is to endurance. Wear down your opponent. And one of the things, like, Caleb Plant, very, very, they called him Sweet Feet because he was so mobile, so agile, and he had prolific footwork.
Yeah.
A lot of things a lot of people don't realize is Canelo spent a lot of those early rounds what looked like missed body shots was him punching at the hips.
Yeah.
Punching at the lower hips.
Making sure he's immobile.
Exactly.
But
Caleb won a few of those rounds and Canelo has no problem with that.
But so even right a guy now, like Canelo though, like a guy like Plant, like he even made it to the 11th round, which I mean, if you look at the average, saying,
Canelo won't mind taking Bilal to the 11th, 12th round.
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. I totally agree with that. Because, I mean, if you look at the average of boxing, it's usually like the 10th round is the average of most boxing fights.
Because, once he get past 8, that's when he's going to really go in for the kill. And at that point, he spent 8 rounds wearing you down. And Bilal is probably the one person that could withstand like that type of pressure for 8 rounds.
That's where I want to go with that. Because honestly, for me, I think that in the WBO, the light heavyweight division, I think Bilal has the best endurance. Bilal. I said Bilal.
No, you said Bilal.
I said Bilal.
Not once.
No, I did. I said Bavall. I'm just saying Bavall. I just say a little bit lower. I say Bavall. I do.
All right.
I say it weird. I'll just start. I'll call him Dimitri. How about that? I'll just call, start calling
no,
Dimitri.
No, yeah, no. Right? I literally keep hearing Bavall.
Dimitri, bro. Dimitri. Anyway, but I do think Dimitri is definitely the best, like, endurance fighter in the heavyweight division, for sure. Like, and Canelo, I mean, it's obvious that he's able to go rounds as well. He's able to take things to decision as well. But like you said, Bilal's last few fights, they were in decision, but he was able to win most of those rounds. Like, a lot of those fights were 8-4, 9-3, you know, those were the cards on those fights. So he was able to take most of the rounds, even though they want the decision. So I think that it's going to be a tough fight. It's going to go later in the rounds. Do I think it's going to be a knockout? I don't know. You're going to have to convince me of that, because I don't know at this point, to be honest.
Bivol is pretty much the best defensive fighter that he's faced in a while, since Floyd, basically. The one thing about Canelo is, because he has such an aggressive style of defense, he don't face many fighters that are more patient than him.
Yeah.
To where he gets aggravated and he becomes the aggressor. But not like I said, he has an aggressive style, but it's more a defensive style. I'm talking about, like, if you remember that Floyd fight, like, he was just crazy. Like, he was just trying to get something off because he just couldn't get what he wanted to get. So that's something that stunned him. When he faced Arislandi Lara.
That was
another one
that
he basically avoided a lot of, like, he won a lot of those rounds to where Canelo kind of got frustrated, and that was a split decision.
True.
And that was a split decision. And basically, while a lot of people don't realize it, his brutal knockout of Amir Khan.
That was
beautiful. Up until he caught him cleanly, that was damn near the first time he caught him cleanly all night.
That for, cleanly, for sure.
For six rounds, he was giving him just,
I mean, there
trouble.
Was one or two punches, but
that's
like,
what I'm
yeah.
For like six
like
rounds,
tough,
Canelo was just
really
sitting there. You
punch.
Could see him where, like, he wasn't comfortable, but he was just like, come on, like, fuck,
yeah,
let me just get
I
want to
get inside.
And then he finally got one, and all he needed was the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, all he needed was the one. So, like,
but I don't think that a guy like Bilal, he's got a chin, bro. I don't think that he's going to need one. He's going to need, like,
he do got
I think
chin.
He's going to need four or five. Like, I feel like a guy like Bilal, even if he gets knocked down, like, two or three times, he'll get back up. And he'll, you know, he's not going to get knocked out on the first one or second one. I think, like, it's going to take him a few times.
Oh, no. And that's what I'm saying. So, basically, I expect to see the same type of fight that he had with the last three fights, where Canelo were basically use his aggressive, extreme, prolific defense on footwork and head movement, bobbing and weaving, moving forward, pretty much trying to play more of a patient game than Bivol. And Bivol is going to try to pretty much, and that's the one thing I'll give Bivol, he's going to be more patient than the last three fighters.
Yeah.
To where he's really, like, he's going to play that game. And like you said, there's not going to be not much going on for a fifth round. You might see a little bit come out from Bivol. But I think Canelo's really going to be working that body, trying to really get that body and hip work going when it comes to just finding a way to stop the rhythm, stop the breathing, and slow down your opponent. And that's pretty much what he's going to do. Bivol's going to try to keep that pocket tight, take a lot of less damage, and kind of react when he sees his openings. And if he throws eight punches with one round, he has absolutely no problem doing
right.
that.
Right, I can see him doing that, but maybe not just eight, maybe like 15.
No,
but
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I could definitely see that happening for
he
sure.
He has
like,
no
yeah.
problem
if
taking
like,
it slow
yeah. exactly,
and really
yeah.
just trying to, like, not find.
I mean,
any
it's always about significant strikes,
exactly.
And like you want, like, Bilal, he's gonna be hitting from over the top, so like those jabs are gonna be hitting Canelo definitely on his temple, so they're gonna look, you know, they're gonna look hard. It's gonna be interesting if we see one of these guys bleed, because honestly, Bilal, like, if you look at his previous fights, he doesn't bleed as much. You know, like, even when he gets welts, like,
he don't take much damage.
No, he really doesn't. Yeah,
12%.
But Canelo, like, if you remember his fights, he actually does bleed a little bit. Like, he'll get hit in the eye, he'll start bleeding. Like, obviously, they take care of it after every round, but like, he'll definitely, like, still get blood on, like,
and that's
around,
why
know?
I say he's one of the best defenders, because at the end of the day, his aggressive style of defense does risk a chance of him getting punched. But on top of that, he literally has the best neck.
His
strength Brolic. And that neck Brolic. Makes no sense.
Yes.
Because there was like them Triple G fights, there were punches that like actually, not Triple one G's other guy man that
has that too. But,
and that's another one too. Right, they both ate punches. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But no, Canelo got one of the strong. Yeah, he got one of the strongest neck muscles in the game, and that's why that the head movement and pretty much the, like I said, the footwork and the chin, like all that together. Like it's a nasty combo of someone just walking you down where you still can't even touch
him. So I definitely agree that
Demetri won't try that.
I definitely agree that he's gonna be able to get like those body shots. Canelo is gonna be able to get body shots on Demetri, and that's definitely gonna be a great plan for him. I think that's gonna be good if he's gonna make Demetri start, you know, bringing his hands down towards the later rounds. Exactly. And
that's his favorite punch.
That's what you're going to need to do. That's what you're going to need to do. Bring his hands down a little bit so he make sure that he's not blocking his face. Or
bring his hands to the side. Yeah, exactly. Open up the middle. Literally, like, he's going to be digging at that. He's going to be digging at that pancreas. He's going to be digking at that hip.
Yeah.
He's going to be digging in that gut.
Definitely. Like, and I do think he's going to get those shots where he goes for the uppercut. Goes for that right hook. He loves that right hook.
And another thing, too, I love it, and it sounds so foolish, but it works so fluidly. And when you think about it, you understand why it works. Boxers have to react in the splittest of seconds. So, like, Canelo has such a ridiculous feint that to a random person, when you look at it, you literally think to yourself, why does that work?
That shows the speed.
He does this.
Bro.
Now, obviously, he got the hook. He got the hook, like body, head. And then he got a hard ass overhand right to where it hooks over the.
I love that. He does back do of that the
head.
From the top.
It hooks to the back of the head and comes in from the rear.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things he throws that overhand right a lot, and then this shit makes no sense. But like his feint.
Yeah, is comes this. Back with it. Yeah. Boop.
Yeah. No. He throws his arm out.
Yep.
But just flashing the glove out, making him think he's about to come in, it makes him
fidgety,
do this.
Yeah,
and
fidgety.
Like literally he does this.
Bum, bum, bum.
And comes straight with that uppercut. And that's one of his most lethal combos. And like one of the times I seen it and I mean, like I thought like, you know way that worked. And then like he consistently uses that. And then when I look at the footage, I'm like, I see why it works because he sets it up with that right hand. So as soon as you see that glove come out, you have no choice but to come in, and at that point, he flashes.
He did that
straight
exact,
with the uppercut.
He did that exact move against Yildirim. I know the exact move you're talking about. He did that exact move.
That's one of his
feints.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like that's they technically exactly call that a Canelo feint. At this point, no one in the boxing game is fainting as frequently. It's not like an actual boxing.
Though, yeah.
He throws it out. He just literally throws it out to hang, but he just wants you to see the glove, and you have no choice. But to pull it to the side.
He knows he's gonna be doing that because it's gonna be Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Expect
so
to see that, and that's what I'm
be
saying.
Putting
because
on a show, but
he's gonna be facing a person who's gonna be using all of his arm combinations and shoulder face to keep him in there. So as soon as he flashed that right. That's going to be something Canelo's going to throw.
So, I mean, here comes the question. Who you got in this one? I mean, like I said, this might be his toughest fight to date other than Floyd Mayweather. Canelo Alvarez or Demetri Bivol. Nah, did I get it right this time?
You did.
All right, I'll take it.
But listen, at 31 years old, it's Canelo's world, man. And we're just living in it. He hasn't shown no signs of slowing down. His last three fights were damn near perfect at this point.
You're right about that.
A lot of people were worried about his move back up to 175. But at this point, it's been clear that he knows what he wants. I don't ever think he'll move past light heavyweight. Like he's 5'7".
No,
he's
I don't think
moving,
so either.
You know
I
saying?
Think he'll probably
but
stay.
He flirted at 175 before, even got a knockout. So like, that's not like, it's not. He's been there before.
Yeah, Bokolov.
Exactly. So, like, he's not worried about that. At this point, I think it's going to be his fight. I don't think Bivol is going to be a fighter to take chances. He know he can't knock Canelo out. His only shot is to win by decision.
Ooh.
He hasn't knocked anyone out close until, like, 7-8 years.
I don't
know. He literally got... He won like 8-9-0, got his belt, and then pretty much been winning straight decisions. Because one another thing with the UFC in the boxing, once you face them top five contenders, like it gets to a point where like it's another level. And with a light heavyweight, you don't want to risk getting put, your lights put out.
No, because his last knockout was 3 years ago, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's been 3 years for his last knockout, yeah.
Nah, it gotta be more than 3 years.
No.
Oh, that's right. No, he had...
Yeah, he had a knockout 3 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. So he's had...
Five fights
like,
ago.
Yeah. I would say he has one knockout in the midst of those, like, all those decisions. He did have one. You're right. Yep. So, not, nah, but, like, you can't really risk that. So I think it becomes a Canelo by decision.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Canelo, he's been fighting for so much... Like, he's had so many more fights. Like you said, he's 31 and he's... What's 60 his record?
Fights, 60 pro fights, 60 57, fights. 1 and 2.
Well, I mean, Bivol is 31 as well, and he's only had 19 pro fights. So, he has 19 and 0. That's one thing you got to give it to him. In early his career, he was knocking people out left and right. Mm-hmm. And early in the rounds, he was knocking people out third, fourth round knockouts.
And apparently, it seems to be a very vacant light heavyweight division.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys there, but honestly, Vokalev was one of the guys that you thought was going to take over, and he never was able to, because, I mean, he got beat by Canelo, and after that, he just was never able to, like, get back up there against a guy like Bivol, but obviously, you still have Joe Smith Jr. out there, and a guy like Berbatov that's up there, who's up and coming, but that's a division that's definitely, like, up and coming, so... You know, for Canelo to be able to get this belt, if he does, he is going to become the first guy since Julio Cesar Chavez to get it, right?
Yeah.
I think to get the...
Nah, not, because...
Was it Julio?
Nah, no, he is undisputed.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. Let me look at that. Yeah. I believe that it was the...
Because right now...
Yes, exactly, yeah. It was he'll be the first one to be the undisputed Mexican fighter.
Well, Mexican.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, because, Mexican fighter, exactly.
Yeah, I would say it's been done before, and actually another person that's about to try to do it right now is Crawford. trying to
bring both
go up to fight Errol Spence and get all those belts and become two-time undisputed.
And he's trying to get three belts. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a couple people, and after that he won Charlo. So there's definitely a like.
That's true. Yeah, he's gonna be Canelo will be the first Mexican fighter one. Since. Or, yeah, the first Mexican since Julio Cesar Chavez, but also he would have more title defenses as well, because this would count as a title defense for his own belt as well. But I do think that, like, I think he's obviously the faster fighter. He's going to be able to get the body shots, like you said. I think that Bivol has a chance if he keeps his distance, he stays patient, he uses his jabs, and... He definitely his left hook is pretty good. I definitely think he needs to do that a little bit in this fight. Do I think it's going to be a knockout for Bivol? Nah, I think if Bivol wins this fight, it's going to be like a decision for him. But do I think he's a better fighter? No. I think right now it's Canelo's world, like you said. And I think right now he's just in the best shape of his career. He's able to get so many more shots on you. And even if, like you said, that Bivol could win a round that he... gets like 15 shots, but I don't think Canelo's gonna allow that. He's gonna probably get like 40 to 50, you know, hits on Bivol per round. So I do think that the better fighter, the more talented fighter is Canelo, even though the bigger fighter is Bivol. And I actually got this as a knockout for Canelo in the 10th round. I don't think it's gonna go to decision. If it does go to decision, it'll be interesting to see, because I think that, you know, Canelo hasn't gotten a decision in a while. You know, it's been like a year and a half, yeah, 2 years almost since he's been in the decision. So,
Bivol got the highest plus minus because
Nunes
only hit 12% of their shots.
Yeah, but I mean, I won't be surprised. Is what I'm saying. 12%
of their strikes.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if it is. But even if it's 12%, I think one or two of those hard shots by Canelo might hit him hard, and that was later rounds. And I think it might be a 10th round knockout.
And that's the thing. Bivol is like, that's the one thing people don't realize about him. He's not a lanky 6-footer. He's a stocky 6-footer.
He is a little stocky,
like,
but
he has a very short, like, that's what makes him so good as a defender. Because when you go to light heavyweight, tall, 6 foot fighters, when they do this, like when I do this, I could block my whole body and still touch my face. True. They can't do something like that. Like I'm touching my hips.
But compared to Canelo, like we're comparing him to Canelo. Canelo's we're not comparing him like a stockier.
I'm like saying heavyweight. Compared against 6 foot fighters.
Compared to 6 footers.
Bivol is a stockier 6 foot, so that's what makes him such a nasty. That's why he got that 12% defense. Because he can still use his forearm to cover most of his body. And he'll sit there and do that and wait for his shot.
Definitely. Compared to a guy like Gilbert Burns in the UFC. Similar to like Gilbert Burns in the UFC. Like that type of body style, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely more like...
Well, a little couple more inches.
Couple more inches height, but yes. Definitely like a little more stockier for sure. But I do think that like he definitely has a chance in this fight. It won't surprise me because of the decision. But... You know, if he does win, that'll be really crazy for me. First of all, like they even said they're not gonna play the Russian national anthem for him coming out. They're not gonna play the, you know, they're not gonna have his flag showing when he comes out. But if he wins, it'll definitely be interesting on a Cinco de Mayo weekend. But what happens next? Because we both got this as a Canelo win. So what happens next for Canelo if he wins?
He pretty much moves on to fight either the next light heavyweight belt holder. Or he moves back down, because I don't even actually think he's going up to 175 for the fight.
I think
he's staying at 168 to 170. I don't think because he don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know what I'm saying? Like it's like he has to be within like a few pounds.
Yeah, no,
like,
you're right.
He don't have to be on 175 on the mark. No. And I don't actually think he's gonna bulk up that couple pounds. Obviously he walks around probably at higher than that. But, like, I think he wants to be a little bit more quicker and a little bit more agile so he could wear his opponent down. So, we'll definitely see if he just, you know, hits on the mark or is a couple pounds off. But pretty much, like, he's going to either take that fight with the next belt holder or move back down and fight Triple G. I actually think he wants to save Triple B. Triple G for the last fight of his 3-fight contract.
Well, he fighting Ball right, now? Right. One of the Ball brothers? No.
So I think he's on a 3-fight contract. This will be the first one. And more than likely, the next one is what everyone is thinking going to be Joe.
Joe Smith, be Joe. Yeah, Junior. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I got a little bit different, to be honest with you. I mean, for me, because Joe Smith Junior, he's got to fight... Berbadia right now.
No, he got to get the belt, but a lot of people got him as a favorite.
They do, but I think Berbadia is up-and-coming fighter, and I think he's a better fighter to me, so I think Berbadia is probably going to win that fight. But for me next, a lot of people have been talking about the Triple G fight. You're 100% right about that. And Canelo has an 11-fight contract with DAZN, so he's got like a few more years with them. So
I thought this is only three.
Well, it's 3 fights for the year. That he's 3 fights for 2022 is what he wants to do. Triple G wants to fight 3 times in 2022, which is going to be crazy for him because it's already May, and this is his first fight in 2022. Last year in 2021 when he did it, it was January, May, and November. And this year, it's already May, and he wants to do 3 fights. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but
right.
The next fight is supposed to be possibly Triple G. But I think since Berbadiev and... Joe Smith Jr. are fighting next very soon. I think they're fighting in the next month. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to hold off a fight between the winner of that first, and then they're going to try to keep that to last fight.
Get them undisputed. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. To get that undisputed belt, and then obviously the end of the year might be a crazy fight. It might be the third Triple G fight with Canelo, which would be insane. But for me, what's even more insane is Canelo actually had a chance to take a contract, a $120 million contract, for a 4-fight deal to fight Errol Spence and somebody else. It was like Errol Spence was the one guy he was going to fight, and then he had a chance to pick his next challenger.
So. Okay, no. So he was on an 11-fight contract with Golden Boy in 2018 that he broke.
That hasn't bought his contract out.
And now he's on a... That's what I said. Now he's just on a 3.
Oh, he's on a $120 million contract.
Now he's
that's
just
right.
on a 3-fight contract. And so, this is the first one. And they...
That can't be the first one. That's the second one. Because last year he got $100 million for 3 fights.
No, but they just signed a new contract after Plant. And the first fight is supposed to be Dimitri.
But he still fought under DAZN last year, though.
No, yeah. He's been with them since 2020. But they just signed a new contract. The first one is Dimitri. The second one is supposed to be pretty much another, like I said, either Joe or the other title holder. And then the third one, they already planned on, we wanted Triple G. So he has a 3-fight contract. Now, as I say, he was an 11-fight contract with the Golden Boys. But now he's on a 3-fight contract, and they pretty much said two light heavyweights and then Triple G, three.
Yeah, I mean, so I definitely see him this year. We just don't know what order
we're getting, and we're not getting. We're at this point, if he wins, obviously against Bilal.
There you go. You must set up to it. I win. Let's go.
You've been working me all episode.
I got you saying.
Yeah, you've been working me all episode. So pretty much, once he beat Bilal, they definitely planned to go to the next light heavyweight, and then they plan it, and then the third fight of the contract. With Triple G.
That's why I think that it is going to be the winner of Gerald Smith Jr. and Berber Diev, and that's where the only way we differ. I think Diev is a better fighter than Gerald Smith Jr. for me.
But No. Arturo definitely might win. Like, I definitely see that happening, so I get it.
But we both see them obviously getting to that Triple G fight next up in the end of the year, which will be incredible.
And even that's the thing, it don't have to necessarily be the end of this year.
No, it should be the beginning next year for sure.
It's the third fight of that.
But it's just that Canelo was the one. Canelo was the only one that said that. He actually came out on ESPN. And I think at this point,
Triple G don't have no problem doing nothing but training.
Oh, not at all.
For a Canelo fight. Because, you know, that will be his retirement fight.
A man's already like 36.
That's what I'm saying. That will be his retirement fight.
That'll be good money right there, you know, for him.
He has no problem.
Not at all, but
spending the rest of the year training for that shit.
But honestly, I don't think Canelo has no problem with his next two fights at least.
And that's why why one of the things a lot of people are not wanting to give Canelo that title of just this best of our generation, because they literally have felt like he's cherry picked easy belt classes and easy.
I don't
title
think it's
holders.
His fault. I don't
and
think it's
I
his
don't.
Fault.
And here's my point: boxing? I don't. Because at the end of the day, if everyone at 168 is trash, and like what is that's not his fault. They're the 168 title holders.
Well, not even that.
That's not his fault.
But here's the thing: boxing is not the same as UFC. UFC, you have a commissioner where he picks the fighters, or he picks the fights, and he picks some of the best fights at all times. He'll pick the ranks.
A lot of people are avoiding Canelo.
Yeah, but it's sometimes the promotion companies. Like, you got a different promotion company from a different country that doesn't want to fight. That's why, like, if you remember back in the day, like, a lot of the Anthony Joshua versus Fury fights, it couldn't happen because promotion wasn't right, or, you know, it just wasn't happening right. And the same thing with, like, with the Canelo fights, because he was under Golden Boy promotion, or Golden Boy boxing, you know, up until 2020, actually. And then, you know, he got off that contract. Now he's actually able to do fights with a lot more.
But that's what I'm saying. People have been saying since then he's been cherry picking. Now, granted, I'll be honest. Part of me just understands that it's a smart thing to do. But people weren't happy that when he decided to go to the 168, he chose what everyone considered the weaker champions first, before facing what ended up being Billy Joe and then Caleb Plant. But in my head, it's why would you not do it that way?
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean, like, you know what I'm saying?
But I don't fault him, because he fought Golovkin when he was in his prime. So granted, I think that, you know, that's definitely fine. That he's definitely a type of fighter that can outbeat some guys.
Yeah, no, but granted.
Real quick, the camera came off, but I'm going to change up the battery. But we're still going on the...
Yeah, so we got a couple more minutes.
We're still going on the live.
The audio,
whoever's listening, you guys still with us. The video, we'll get right back to you guys. Don't worry.
And it's funny, because I was just about to look the camera dead in his face and say, like, the one thing I'll say about the Triple G and Canelo fight is I'll 100% say that first fight that ended in a draw, Canelo lost.
Yeah.
Triple G won that first fight. Canelo came back that second fight and was clearly the better fighter, and won that. There was controversy for both of them. The second one wasn't a controversy for me. Again, it ended up in a...
For me, it was,
ended
bro.
Up in a window. Oh, nah. Like, the first one was a draw, so I 100% see where there was a couple rounds I was like, ain't no way Canelo got that. So, like, I definitely think that Triple G beat Canelo. At this point in their careers, though, Canelo has already surpassed
them. For me,
him.
That's crazy. It's not even about to be fun. I mean, I think the second one was a little bit more controversial than a lot of people say. Like, I think the Triple G was very close in that fight. I think that could have been a draw, whereas the first one you say could have been a win. I think that the second one could have easily been a draw.
So I think for me, and I remember because a lot of times when I watch the fight, obviously most people have a bias. I like to try to watch it after and like multiple times, like watch it from basically the first time I watch it, I'll watch it for who I want to win. Mm-hmm. Second time, I'll watch my person again. And then the third time, I'll watch their person. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth time, I just try to watch it as both. So I watch fights at least like 3-4 times before I really try to give an opinion. I remember initially thinking that Triple G won that second fight as well. Mm. And a part of it, I realized, is because I felt he got robbed.
I did too.
The first fight. I gave him a little bit of a bias that second fight.
Okay. But not only robbed, like I just felt like they were trying to, at the time.
No, he should have won. At the time, they were
pushing. Well, they were pushing Canelo because he was a younger fighter.
They were pushing Canelo.
My man was the older fighter, obviously.
Draw. Triple G won.
Plus, the one thing I hate about boxing is draw. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, ain't no draw.
What is this draw in boxing? Like,
you can't tell me you sat there and watched that whole fight and didn't think one person beat the other. Like, you literally can't tell me you think both persons are even. Crazy. You can't tell me. Because at the end of the day, you have to have one. You have to lean one way.
That's crazy.
At the end of the day, if you lean one way, like it don't matter. Because if you're the deciding factor and you tell me you can't lean, I'd rather have you just lean a fucking way.
Bro, don't even get me started on boxing judges. Because I swear we could have a whole episode on the worst boxing. That's what I'm saying.
That first fight was a draw. Ain't no way that should have been a draw. To me, Triple G won.
For sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that, but I definitely, the second fight for sure was definitely more controversial than people are giving it. I think the Triple G fought a lot better than people give him credit for.
Yeah. And obviously, on the other side of that coin with Demetri Bivol, because we're talking about what will happen or what's going to happen afterwards.
True. Let's talk
about
him real
quick. If he wins the belt or keeps the belt, he's obviously going to continue to try to unify all of them and continue to win. And if he loses, 9 times out of 10, nine times out of ten, the two out of the four champions that Canelo just beat probably will regain their championship.
Yeah. But like,
there's no avoiding it. They're very young.
For sure. Yeah. There's a few guys. Yeah.
Just Canelo's on a.
Alvarez is young. Ramirez is very young out there.
All
but
young. So
for me, the next
fight, if he loses, he's gonna come back in a couple of years, a year or two, and be back.
For me, if he wins, though, I think that he's going to try to fight Kovalev, and that's going to be the real fight.
Everyone's fighting him next. Whoever wins out of him and Joe, everyone's fighting next.
Well, I don't know. I think if Joe Smith and Berbatov, whoever's the winner of that is probably going to fight Canelo. But if Bivol wins, then I do think it might be Kovalev versus Bivol next. You know, we'll see.
We'll see.
But anyways, it's going to be a great fight on May 7th, 2022. Mm-hmm. Canelo versus Bivol. So make sure y'all get ready to watch that one. And thank you guys for listening to us. And make sure that if you guys are listening to us on our podcast, then check us out wherever you get it. We're everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify. Mm-hmm. Get us there. If you're watching us, check us out on YouTube or our social media pages. And
definitely, you already know we love the social media interaction. We love talking with our fans. We want to make sure that we continue to give you the quality sports content that you love. You know what it is, NBA, NFL, UFC, boxing, a little bit of college sports when it comes to tournament time.
Exactly. Oh, yeah,
we're always going to keep adding more things. And this was our first boxing episode that we actually dropped.
Right.
And we've been meaning to drop ones for a while.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, but we've been waiting for the right fight. Yeah, and this seemed like the right fight because this is going to be a pretty
Cinco
good
Cinco de Mayo, that's to say. We got the best Mexican fighter in the world walking around on Cinco de Mayo. We had to get it good. We even went to the bar, had some drinks before we even came and recorded the episode. Wanted to make sure we just having a good time. And this is a fantastic fight weekend.
Oh, yeah.
With a UFC 274 as well.
It's going to be great. So make sure you guys like give us some comments. If you guys want to let us know what you guys want us to talk about with different episodes or different topics. Whatever you guys want to shoot us up on our
season stuff coming up, you know, more of opinionated debate, more topics. So like, let us know what you want to hear.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into a lot more stuff. But thank you guys again for watching this episode of Who You Got with
Mello
and Rado. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace,
y'all.